Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with Lewis O'Berry. He is an energy management advisor for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And Lewis, today we are going to play a game.
Well, I love games, so let's. What's it going to be? Is it a card game? I mean, do you have anything in mind?
Oh, no. We're going to play the what if game.
Oh, no. The what if game.
Yeah. I know. What if.
Just not the they said game. Just the what if game.
Just the what if game.
Okay, I can play the what if game.
So here's my first question. What if someone is walking through their favorite home improvement store, local hardware store, wherever, and they have $50 that they have allocated that they are going to spend to make their home more energy efficient? What would you recommend that they get or they do with their $50?
Well, obviously $50 isn't a large sum of money. So from the standpoint of doing a lot of air sealing or insulating, is probably not going to be in the picture there realistically, but you can address some small items. You can there's things that you can do. So let's say your windows are leaking.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they truly, in fact, you have problems. The curtains are blowing when the wind's blowing. You got problems. A window film kit is one of the cheapest ways to cut that back. They range anywhere from $3 to $5 a pack. There's three of those in a pack. They simply go over the inside portion of the window and frame right at the trim level, and they adhere to the window. You know, you just use a hair dryer and kind of stretch it out. It's kind of like shrink wrapping your windows for the most part.
We do that every winter season.
You know, right, so you're familiar with that. I mean, obviously, it takes away from, you know, you can't see out the window as well. A lot of the film are distorted and things like that. I mean, they do have some clear models, but that is a really good first line of defense for windows and even doors that you don't use.
They do make them big enough for patio doors.
They
even
do. Yeah, if you don't use them, obviously you don't want to use that on a main egress door for fire reasons, obviously. We don't want to do anything or advise you to do anything that's unsafe. You know, yes, you can use them to cover up rough openings in your house that are problematic, and they're very, very inexpensive. They're not reusable, so once you pull them down, you know, you got to throw them away and do it again. But
tape is sometimes not the easiest thing to then peel back off, though. So just be aware.
That's right. You know, so, but Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, any hardware store is going to have
those. Amazon, you can get them anywhere.
Amazon, they're readily accessible.
I got mine for years. For years and years, I got mine from you. Because guys used to have these really cool little energy efficiency kits that had window film and light bulbs and styrofoam or some little things that I would put inside my outlets.
Yep, and some outlet covers. And we'll talk about those too. So on to outlet covers.
Okay.
The issue lies behind the wall, really, with respect to how the outside wall receptacles are communicating with the outside. So the outlet cover, yes, it does slow that infiltration down a little bit, but it is a lesser impact item because you're not going to stop it all. It's still going to communicate through the receptacle itself. You know, the air void is behind the wall. So really, to do it right, you know, you should, and if you're not comfortable, you know, with electricity, you know, you isolate the circuit and you pull the receptacle out and you fix it and you caulk it from the back or seal it from the back side. But, you know, you also have to be careful about the air void that you leave behind the wall. So you know, it all comes down to the construction of the house, how the insulation was installed, what measures or amount of air sealing was done. But the outlet covers do slow that down some. And that's an inexpensive, easy way to do that. Obviously, we would never advise you to do anything that's unsafe or that you're not qualified to do. So, you know, obviously, if you want to go a little bit further, it would require a licensed professional to go in there and take care of a few extra things. But those are very inexpensive, anywhere from, you know, $3 to $10 a pack, depending on how many is in a pack. And they'll do switch covers and duplex covers for your typical 120-volt outlets. They work very well for what they are. But they don't stop at all. They don't stop all the air movement. And typically, you're going to target those on your exterior walls that are communicating with that outside. Another item that's pretty inexpensive pipe insulation. You know, we talk about water heating being one of your largest base load items. We talk about base load and weather load. So all these terms are kind of coming back. And I'm sure all our listeners are like, oh, yeah, I remember him talking
remember
about that.
That
about four podcasts ago or whatever. But we talk about pipe insulation. So your standby losses from water heating are pretty significant. So water heater blanket, a little bit of pipe insulation will go a long way.
Now, even if my water heater is in a closet on the main floor of my house, or should I only be paying attention to that sort of thing if they're in the garage or maybe in an unfinished basement or something like that? Does it really matter?
Good point, Janet.
Where it
I
is?
Mean, inside the house, if the house is at a nominally being conditioned, you know, in that 60 to 70 degree range where most people will heat their home on average, but some maybe a little bit warmer, not so much a deal breaker with it being inside the house. If it's located in an unconditioned garage, located in a cellar underneath the house or a basement scenario where it's always, you know, going to be 6 to 8 degrees cooler than year round than what the main level is, or it's located in a crawl space. I've seen, I can't tell you how many times I've been in an unconditioned ventilated crawl space and there's a water heater sitting there right at the back door because it's a taller crawl space and there's a vent wide open and the air is just going right across it. So, you know, you can only imagine how many times per hour
it's kicking on.
Water heater's kicking
on
to maintain that. Remember, heat is always going to cold, so the heat is escaping the vessel and the water heater's kicking on. So water heater blanket, a little bit of pipe insulation. Now $50 isn't going to buy you a lot of pipe insulation because those sections are you know, only going to buy you a few sections or so depending on what you get. But pipe insulation is a good way to reduce your standby loss from water heating and even prevent freezing in some aspects if it's in an unconditioned space. So a little bit of pipe insulation, some outlet covers and window film kits are really, for inexpensive as they are, they can have a pretty big impact on energy use if they're used in the right way.
So what if I have $100? I've upped my budget.
Oh, my.
Now I've got $100.
Well,
what am I going to buy for
$100?
Obviously,
if you have a lot of that stuff, you can buy more of the small things. We know that, right? You know, $100, you know, you can do, maybe you can insulate all the pipes underneath, you know, in the unconditioned space, or, you know, buy enough pipe insulation to do all the hot and cold water lines that are underneath your crawl space. Or you can go through and maybe after you do an inspection, if you've got some areas where there's some insulation that's missing in the crawl space or some that's hanging down, you can maybe look at buying some vapor barrier, some heavier duty plastic to put down in the crawl space to make sure that it, and tape seam it to make sure that it's consistent throughout and not letting that ground moisture permeate through it and wick into that insulation. Because as we know, anytime insulation loses contact with what it's supposed to be insulating, it loses its effectiveness, right? So if the insulation's pulled down away from the floor, there's an air void there.
There's a gap.
It's a gap there. Our value is lost. You can maybe touch up a few things around the house. You can maybe even invest in some gadgets, some little bit of tech for energy management regarding lighting and different things like that. You can put some timers on your pool pumps and things of that nature to try to reduce energy use in the summer months if you have a pool. So $100 will get you into that realm where you can start really mitigating some of the things that are costing you a little bit more money to operate, but you can also invest in a little bit of that tech at that point to try if you have some of those leisurely items at your house and for the summer months, you know, hot tub timers, pool timers, things like that. So $100 will get you in that realm where you can get a little bit more.
It's an inexpensive way to learn how this tech works so that you can kind of take more advantage of it down the road.
I mean, a good timer for your pool pump, I mean, you know, let's say you run your pool pump 24/7. Let's just say it's an in-ground pool that has a pool pump that's using 1600 to 1700 watts when it runs. Well, that's an easy $160, $180 a month.
Wow. So it really could have. Yeah.
So if you were to reduce that, put a good timer on it, reduce the run time down to 6 to 8 hours a day, you can dramatically
chunk of change.
Down. So you know, folks that have pools, you know, a lot of times the argument is that I can't do that because of algae. I can't, you know, but work with your pool company, get your chemicals straight, you know, in the best way to avoid that and try to run the pool pump, you know, less time. Any reduction is going to be a definite savings.
So what if I have $200? That's as high as I'm going because I'm cheap. I'm not spending any more than $200.
Well,
but I got $200. What can I do?
Going kind of back to that $100. So when you're in that $100 to $200 range, there's a lot of more things you can do. You can invest in a little bit of tech. You can look at maybe a smart programmable thermostat at that point. Now you can kind of move up a little bit and you can get a really good Wi-Fi connected thermostat that's going to use web-based weather data to run your system more efficiently. You can use the programming feature with the adaptive intelligent recovery so that you're, you know, when you're gone away from work, you're not, and away from home, you're not running the system at the same set points that you're running when you are home. That's where you can kind of get a little bit more bang for the dollar. You can
now those programmable thermostats, is that something that I could call you or somebody at REC to come and install? Is it something I call an HVAC guy? Do I call an electrician? Who, in theory, is the smartest person to put one of those in so that they run properly?
Your HVAC provider is the best tool for installing a thermostat. If you buy one yourself, I mean, most companies like to provide their own product, typically right. speaking. I mean, I come from a contracting background, so I mean, I understand that folks will buy their own things from time to time. But some thermostats are easier to install than others, but I definitely would advise you to not go out of your realm if you're worried about it, because different systems wire up differently. Your thermostat that you had will be set up maybe a little bit different than one that you had. It may wire differently according to the terminal designation. So you have to be really careful about swapping thermostats. So if you're savvy yourself, that's great. You know, you saved yourself some money. And
they're not that expensive. So they certainly fall within that $200 range.
Most of them will fall. I mean, there are some that are more expensive than $200. But you know, when you get up in that range, you can get into that some of that technology, running your HVAC equipment much more intelligently.
And do most people only have one? Does it depend on the size of your house, how many of these thermostats you should have?
It just depends on the size of the house, the design. Some houses are multi-level and single zone, having one system. Some are multi-level or multi-area that are mechanically zoned and have multiple thermostats with one system. Some people have a specific system serving a certain area of the house, whether it be a basement, main level, upper level, addition wing, master wing, whatever it may be. So that's really depends on the design of the house and what was specified for it when it was built or when equipment was installed. So that varies. So, $200 won't buy you two or three thermostats.
Right.
Quite obviously. If you had to pick one and you had multiple systems, I would pick the one that runs the most.
So at $200, most of it is probably in that tech range that I could buy mm-hmm. to save myself some money.
Absolutely.
Down the line.
And you can even do some more air sealing. You can seal recessed lighting. You can, if you have some recessed lighting that needs to be air sealed from the backside, that can be done with some hi-hats. And you can kind of cover that in some of those lower dollar amounts if you don't have a lot of them. You can get your attic hatch sealed up. Definitely within that $50 to $200 range, you can, there's a lot of items that fall kind of in that category. So for that $0 to $200, you can actually do some things to manage your base load. You can do some things to control infiltration and touch up areas that are lacking insulation if you have any. You can get a good vapor barrier down in your crawl space to prevent those things from happening and prevent that moisture from wicking up through the ground and degrading your insulation. If you have a conventional crawl space, you can insulate your water pipes. You can, obviously HVAC is, for most folks residentially, is at the top of the mm-hmm. list when it comes to cost. So installing a programmable thermostat is probably the biggest return on that. But that $1 to $200 range kind of opens up an avenue where a lot of the DIY stuff can be done.
So what if I got nothing? I have no money whatsoever. Are there still things that I can do? Is that when it becomes not so much things to buy and do as it does thinking about my behavior
That's
and changing
right.
that? So,
if you had $0 to spend towards energy efficiency and it was just impossible and it just not going to happen from that standpoint at all.
Because sometimes people rent places and they're not going to spend a lot of money
right.
upgrading or doing that sort of thing for a place that they don't own.
Absolutely.
But there are things that we can do ourselves
sure.
that doesn't cost anything.
So number one, where you set your thermostat. Doesn't matter if it's a all-electric system. It doesn't matter if it's an electric heat pump. It doesn't matter if it's a gas furnace, an oil furnace. All those costs hinge on how much temperature difference do I want? How comfortable do I want to be? What can I live with? What can I not live with? And what the net difference is between the temperature from outside to inside. And that's all going to have the biggest impact on your energy. So where you set the thermostat, that's something that doesn't cost a dime, whether you have a programmable one or not. So yes, you have to be careful. And we'll talk about that in another podcast about adjustments and things that you'll make. You can manage where you keep your thermostat set at. And, with people that have electric baseboard heat throughout their house, obviously not running rooms that they don't want to condition directly. Obviously, you'll lose heat to those areas slowly,
mm-hmm.
but you can definitely cut your costs because of the type of heater that it is. So using, managing the temperature that's inside your house, using alternative ways to stay warm if you need to, whether it be an electric lap blanket or something like that that uses much less energy to kind of stay cuddled up on the couch a little bit, but you can manage and deal with the house being a little bit colder, if need be, if you had $0 to invest in that and you were really trying to be conscientious and save on energy. It goes back to lifestyle. I know it almost sounds trite, but you got to unplug stuff.
Yeah.
You got to not run things that, you know, if you've got a lot of plug loads and you have a lot of activity, or you wash clothes a certain way and you're not washing full loads and you're constantly using the dryer, but yet, like today, it's a beautiful day. It's 75 degrees outside maybe by now. The humidity is low, then hang your clothes out to dry. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it really comes down, it's a decision making process is what it is. And us as humans, we've gotten so accustomed to having the leisurely items in the house that use electricity, but they cost money to operate. So,
well, and I think a lot of times we don't even recognize those as perks or things that we're doing. We just think of them as, this is the normal way of doing things, because we've been doing them for so long.
This is the status quo. And when we don't have it, we go, wow, what? How did we do without this, you know, all these years before? But really, it comes down to making some decisions with lifestyle that don't cost you a dime to change.
What about if I have a fireplace that I don't use? Should I shove something up inside of the...
Shut the damper, close it off as tight as you can, especially if you're not using it. Now, you got to remember, we talked about insulation. Insulation does not stop air. So just shoving a piece of insulation up around the damper is not going to stop the air. So you got to have an air stop behind it. So if, you know, close the damper, if the damper's not there, non-existent, or it doesn't close properly, cut a piece of, like a thick piece of foam board or something like that and get behind it, or put some insulation, some unfaced insulation behind it, and then maybe cut another piece of foam or a piece of luon or a piece of wood or anything to just kind of get up in there and just kind of caulk it shut if it's something that you don't use at all.
Yeah, we
you
don't
definitely want to stop the drafts, because you get down drafts through the fluid in the summertime, and you'll get the up drafts because the house is essentially acting like
out.
A chimney in the winter months with the stack effect. But you get the reverse effect in the summer. So it's hot, humid air outside. It's tracking its way down the flue and right out of the fireplace into the house. And if you open the damper, you would be able to quantify that. You would be able to feel that with your hand on a warm day. Not even with any breeze. That's just natural heat flow. And that's that reverse process that you have in the summertime. So
is that something you would recommend for homeowners to do, walk around their house at various times of the day to just kind of see where is the sun, what's going on, look for outside cracks? I mean, we have a brick house, so for the most part, I don't have a lot of cracks and things of that nature. But just looking, doing inspections probably is a free way to be aware of something that might be happening.
Make sure your doors and windows in your lowest level close tightly. Make sure that you've addressed as much as you can the voids and areas that are in the uppermost column, because if you stop everything up high, you inherently stop it down low. And I know I've said that on here at least three or four times. So address those more than anything. I mean, the brick and your siding and things like that, that's just the cladding of the house. That is just merely what we call the water drainage plane. That's how we get the water away from the house. It really, brick does not have any more air tightness or R value than vinyl siding. Yes, minutely, but not enough to, it doesn't act as any kind of art. So when you say I have a brick house and it's tight, the answer is no, you don't. It's not anything different than a house with siding. Brick.
Really?
No. There's no R value in brick.
I mean, we've had some serious 112 degree days recently, and I swear when I walk by my house and just put my hand up, I can feel the heat coming
off
of the bricks.
Well, that's because the brick is absorbing that heat.
But it's not then going all the way through into the inside.
I mean, you've got the insulation there. It's no different than any other cladding. It's just merely there to shed the water away. And when you have just a brick veneer, you don't have thermal. There's no thermal mass. The only time you have that is if you have maybe old school brick and block construction where you have like four or five courses of brick that comprise of a wall, but you have very minimal R value, but you have what's called thermal mass. So once you heat it up, it stays warm, but it takes a while to get there, if you will.
So the key is educating yourself.
That's right.
So
caulking, you know, doing caulking around the outside of the house may be good measures to make sure that the water is not getting in. But if you do it improperly, like around your windows, you can actually trap water behind the window and cause some issues.
And that's a whole nother issue. Yeah.
That's a whole nother issue. So really caulking around the outside of your J channel on vinyl siding and caulking is merely, if it's not done properly, you can actually cause more problems. And it does absolutely nothing for energy. It has nothing to do with the air control, what we call the air control layer of the house. That's done beyond that, within that wall cavity.
Awesome. So we've covered everything from $0, which is a lot of behavioral changes and thinking about your lifestyle and how you live, thermostat settings, things like that. $50 are minor maintenance things, window film kits, outlet covers, pipe insulation, up to insulating your pipes, technology and timers, programmable thermostats, and all that sort of thing. So you've covered everything in the what if game from $0 to $200. Good job.
I didn't think I would do that very good.
I wasn't sure you were going to be able to win this game either, but I'm going to give you...
You saw the look on my face when you started asking those questions. I was ready for you, Janet.
But I'm going to give you a win. I'm going to put one in the win column for you in the what-if game.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks for playing.
I enjoyed it.